Hey guys, welcome to episode 10. Today on Know Your Roots, we have Dr. Angelica McCarthy and Seth Barker here to talk about their movement, Sustainability for the Arts. Hope you enjoy.
All right. Hi, everyone. We're super excited to be back with our next Know Your Roots podcast, where this week's topic is sustainability for the arts. So today we're really happy to host two awesome individuals, Dr. McCarthy and Seth Barker. We're really excited to have them, especially since this is kind of like a bridging between two different communities. They'll tell you about their backgrounds themselves, but it is definitely something different from what we see normally are used to. Without further ado, if Dr. McCarthy, if you want to introduce yourself, your dance experience, medical experience, any other kind of experience.
yes, definitely. And thank you all for having us. Hello, everyone who's listening. My name is Dr. Angelica McCarthy, and I am a doctor of athletic training. I have specialized for the past decade or so in performing arts medicine, from touring with musicals, concert tours, locally with Broadway, and within any and all other facets. Industrial settings, tech settings, sports, you name it, I am ready to jump and provide that holistic type of care for any and everyone who wants to be happy, feel good, move about pain-free. And so my experience, my passion is in the performing arts though, and I'm so happy that we're here to speak with the SEED dance community because care of our bodies, that awareness towards how we can best step out and do what we want to do for the health and well-being of ourselves. So thank you so much for having us again. And go ahead, Seth.
Hey, Nico. Hey, Julie. Thank you so much for having us. Like Angelica said, I'm Seth Barker. I've spent about 13 years traveling around the country with Broadway shows, also traveling around different parts of the world. Now I find myself as a whole person certified life coach. I'm also an Ayurvedic lifestyle instructor, and I'm also a meditation teacher. So what I do with those is I also tap into the holistic aspect of life. I help people bring their lives back into line and bring sustainability back into their lives, and specifically within the arts community. Together, Angelica and I, you know, we have a personal mission to really create sustainability in the arts so that we can help create a healthy arts community.
Awesome. That was great. Ooh, cool. Yeah. And also one more thing, my co-host today is Julie.
If you wanna... Hi, I'm Julie. Cool.
So welcome, hey. Julie, back. Yes. But awesome. So y'all touched a bit on kind of the work you're trying to accomplish, and I guess sustainability for the arts is kind of your tool or your vessel that you want to work through to accomplish those goals. So can you just give us an overview of kind of the mission statement for that organization and why you guys wanted to start it?
Absolutely. You know, we at Sustainability for the Arts, we understand that a career in the arts can be an incredibly demanding profession. We believe that each and every artist in the community deserves to tap into their fullest potential and share their passion, which is why Angelica and I together offer education, insight, and community connection so that people in the arts community can have a fulfilling life. You know, we saw out on our tours and respective shows and things that people weren't necessarily taking care of their whole person, that they were putting themselves into their passion and putting themselves into their project, but that's all they were thinking about. They weren't necessarily thinking about their lifestyle choices, and they weren't thinking about how those choices can compile and create some opportunities that we have to face later on down in life. Angelica and I found a place where we can come together and really help people plant those seeds of wellness and wholeness and be able to have a fulfilling career in the arts. You know, so many people, they burn out, you know, they're burning the wick at both ends. Either their bodies give out, they mentally burn out, and it's because they don't have sustainable practices to keep them going and going and going.
And to tap onto that, which Seth beautifully said, is that we've been there too. It's not just that we're seeing it in arts in the arts artists that we work with, we were seeing it in our own practices of us burning out, of us living a lifestyle that wasn't a whole lifestyle. And so, especially on my end, to be an athletic trainer and to provide care for people every day out on the road, and then I'm just as burnt out, if not more burnt out, or being pulled from different angles, you know, what kind of care am I truly, truly giving? And so there did come a moment where it came to, you know, we don't want it to come to that moment of injury. We don't want it to come to that moment of, you know, just being so run down sick, which can tend to happen, where it shows up in you physically, it shows up in you mentally, to the point where it feels like you can't get out. It doesn't have to be that way, but many a times it comes down to, you know, what is that one moment that shuts you down to where now you have to build yourself back up again. And so our biggest thing in going through our own journeys within figuring out for ourselves, like, you know what, we love the arts, but we don't love the arts this way anymore. How can we best take care of ourselves to then, when we do insert ourselves back into the arts, or however we do decide to do that, it's through a more whole, grounded, centered place that will have its ebbs and flows. Life is crazy. You know, we're in a pandemic still. Life is crazy. The arts community is still like going through it as far as opportunities to get back out there and really give the passion of what the arts is. So to say that I'm a little more grounded, I can take the life's ups and downs, because am I holding myself back? Are there things that just continue to damper? Whereas I can fully assess who I am and what I want to do and how I want to do it and step forth each day ready to roll. So that's sustainability for the arts, is that culmination of all of those things that we have seen in ourselves. And it's too good not to share, not to educate. Yes, we're here for the arts. We're here. Sustainability for the arts is in our name, but we know it's for every last person that is on this planet. So,
you know, and if I can actually tag onto that too, it really shows in the artistry that each of us are involved in, you know, whether it be in dance, whether it be a show on stage, and how everything's connected. And we're all putting our passion out there, and we're all putting our heart out there, and we're all putting our love out there. But when we're running ourselves so low to the ground, we're not offering that to our audiences. We're not offering that to each other. We have to heal ourselves in order to heal those around us. And, you know, for us to be able to cultivate that place of sustainability, we're able to be that rock for that friend that might be in a show that's going through something. We're able to be that rock for an entire situation that may arise.
Really, like, resonate with a lot of what both of y'all just said, just because, like, one thing that kind of stuck with me in some of the few training programs I've been taking in the past month is that, like, definitely as much as we care about dance and how dance may be all we do at times, mm-hmm. Like, you're a person first, so you're like a human and then an artist and then a dancer in that order. So, like, taking care of those first two steps and aligning yourself, you know, making sure you have a good foundation to build your dance off is something that I've been, like, actively trying to do. And at times it's like, you know, I definitely took a break, or like I only set a certain period of, like, I'm going to go super hard for this month or so, but that I'm only giving myself a time frame, so I have, like, an exit strategy or plan to kind of regroup and then, like, reassess. So
yeah,
but definitely see how, like, these are important problems.
Very important. I actually took probably about a year, 2 years of not dancing, and now I'm starting to get back to it, and I feel more confident in being able to, like, be consistent with that, because I worked on myself for the past year or two. So I totally, like, agree with everything that you guys said.
Well, question, Julie, what does dancing mean to you now at this point of that, after that time of taking for yourself? What does it have a different meaning for you now compared to what it meant before?
Right now, it's literally, I'm just dancing for myself. It's not for, like, a choreographer. I'm not dancing for, like, a stage or a judge, that kind of stuff. It's more like, I like how this feels, so I'm going to keep doing it. And if I don't like how it feels, then I'm going to stop, you know. So it's pretty much like I'm listening to myself rather than, like, the external factors anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also to say, like, those external factors are obviously going to be there, you know, no matter if it's in the audience that's listening tonight or today, or if it's, you know, anyone in the arts, there will be that person that is, you know, that you could be dancing for, but it's to say, are you still dancing for yourself within that? And that's like, ooh, I'm feeling like very open right now. I'm talking as me, I'm not talking about as like, I'm feeling like the energy of stepping forth for you and what your purpose is, what your priorities are, what your needs are, what anything may be in life that allows you to step into what you want to do. So
very well said.
Thank you.
What would you say the difference between your sustainability for the arts and all of your, I guess, like healthcare needs versus like a standard healthcare service or like company organization?
Yeah, the sustainability for the arts as far as healthcare isn't healthcare based. A lot of the premise of sustainability for the arts is to talk about mind, body, soul, energy, and to really educate on those principles of whole person. Whereas for myself individually as an athletic trainer, it's the holistic based principles of how sustainability for the arts, how we function, what our core pillars are. I include that in my practice as an athletic trainer to say, okay, you have that knee pain. Okay, we're not just going to treat your knee pain and make sure that you can get out on the stage. What's going on, mind, body, soul, life, everything, because they all play a factor. How many times have we been in a moment where our mental health has affected our physical health? And to say, okay, you know what? What's going on? Like structurally, your knee feels good. So how's everything else? How are you eating? How are you sleeping? How are all these other things that within a lifestyle, which within the arts, especially in touring arts, the lifestyle is so completely different. And it's a beautiful lifestyle. I'm not going to lie. There are perks to it, but it's that repetitive longevity of a lifestyle that isn't fruitful for the body that can then wear it down. And so in my experience with the arts on the medical side, it's to say, let's look at that whole picture. I'm going to do you a huge disservice if we're just going to band-aid that knee up so you can get out on stage, but your lifestyle, the ins and outs of what makes you aren't aligning to let you truly do what you want to do. Or do you even want to be on the stage? So it's to say, like, spiritually, you know, a lot of times we just look at, yes, mental health is very huge now. It's a, you know, that key term now, because it's real. It's if we don't tap into that and start asking questions for people, then we're doing them a disservice as well. But it's to really tap into that spiritual, that root of what makes us, you know. Everything else is just, you know, health. Everything else is just the leaves on the tree. But it's to say, what is that root, and even deeper below, if people are willing to tap into it. So that's the difference as far as the health side of me as part of my function as an athletic trainer. But sustainability for the arts, we are here for the awareness and insight and light to whole person.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, you know, like Angelica said, it's a total awareness. It's a matter of like bringing conscious attention to our lives and recognizing that we're not just one aspect. We're not, like you mentioned before, like we're not just a dancer. We're not just a stage manager. We're not just an actor. There's these other components of our lives that have to be nurtured. And sustainability for the arts is cool because we're able to offer that education. You know, if it's something to help people get sleep better, if it's something to help people bring proper nutrition into their lives, you know, balance their emotions, create a meditation practice ground, whatever it is that they need to do. But really create these practices that nurture and help them, that will help the longevity of their careers, the longevity of their passion, because they're not going to burn out from their passion, and just the longevity of their health.
Awesome.
That's really good. Especially the whole person, like the health, I guess, whole person body health is very ignored right now, I feel like, with the spiritual side of everything. I think with mental health coming up and being, I guess, kind of like on the trendier side now, that I feel like, well, like what you said, like instead of going into the deep root of what's going on, it's like kind of like, oh, you're sad because maybe something like this happened in the past, rather than like, why do I actually really feel sad inside? And our community probably needs to hear more about it, because our community, we don't really talk about the holistic side of things.
Well, we don't in healthcare either. So.
Yeah.
Just in general. And you know that, Julie, you just came out of school. Like, how much did you
learn anything holistically?
And I love what you talk about, like your, as we've been saying, like holistic approach, because we, like for our seed educational programs, we do try to take a holistic approach in the sense of, not in the same sense that y'all are describing, but more in the sense of like, okay, this is more than just like a physical movement, right? There's like a whole context and history behind this movement. Like, you can't participate in this dance that comes from Black culture without understanding that, oh, it actually came from like a place of oppression. And then, you know, like you could physically do it, right? But if you don't understand the meaning and context in, of the history that that movement came from, then you're missing the point and you won't truly be able to like execute that move with intention. So like, I definitely feel like that's like a good analogy for what you two are saying about like your bodily care. Like, you could, you know, physically they might be okay, but you know, it's missing the point of like a long-term full knowledge of like self, I guess, or of what they're capable of.
Right, right. You know, especially like, as dancers, you have this beautiful opportunity to express a story through your body. And you have this wonderful ability. And I love where you guys are coming from in this conscious approach to really understanding the roots of the dance and understanding where each movement comes from, what each movement is saying in the body, what story is it telling. But you can't effectively tell that story unless you're effectively taking care of this whole thing, this whole body. Mm-hmm. And I love the two parallels of what both of our organizations are doing.
And we're on Know Your Roots podcast, so that does
work out. No, <yeah. laughs>
And I know you touched on it a little bit, but kind of in your professional experience, you know, what areas in this holistic approach do dancers like overlook? So obviously they're like great performers, they're great physical talents maybe, but you know, oftentimes what, like, you know, maybe one of the more successful, someone you would consider like really successful kind of from the dance and movement and career view, like you wouldn't consider successful through your holistic approach, or you know, they definitely have a lot more to work on despite this I guess this
strength that
yeah,
they have.
Yeah, this like seemingly like, oh, they all got it together, but like, you know, if they come to you, you'll be like, well, actually, you know, this is something you should really be working on.
Well, I will say first that in any scenario, whether they come to us, whether we just meet on the street, any and all things, we're not here to tell you that you're doing your life wrong.
Yeah.
it is to say that, you know, to at least bring the awareness to look at all aspects of your life and how are they serving you. So in the aspect of a dancer, I've worked with many a dancers who they live to perform. And then whenever you have to sit them down to say, you know what, this injury, you have to take a break. It's like a life and death situation. And it's not just dancers, it's performers of all likes, whether you're a musician, actor, et cetera. And it's to say that the passion of what you do and how you do it can sometimes outweigh the needs for what's going on with you physically, mentally, spiritually, et cetera. So it's to say that we're here to give you the tools if you so see that you need them, that they will help you get to where you want to be. So it's in asking questions like, how do you want to feel each day? If you wake up every day as a dancer and your body absolutely sucks, and then it takes like all day for it to warm up, for then, you know, to go to bed, and then you have to spend like, you know, all this time to make yourself feel good, whereas you should be able to pop out of bed because you're doing these things that you know that if you put them together, that care for yourself in all aspects is actually, oh my goodness, like, oh, I took time for me today to do these things that I know that I can go step out and do what I want to do every day. So it's to say that we are here, Seth and I, within Sustainability for the Arts, and I'm dropping seeds as far as saying for the collective down the line, whoever wants to join this movement, to say that this should be a normal thing for life. It shouldn't be, oh, holistic is over here in the corner. Holistic based lifestyle is in the corner. No, it should be something that to where we tap into when we know we most need it and when we don't need it, to say that this is how I want to be every day, how I want to feel, you know, what am I passionate about and how I go about that. So that's my biggest premise of any talking with anyone about holistic based anything. It's to say it's for everyone. It should be a norm for us. It shouldn't be something to where we have to struggle in a way, and not to say everyone's struggling, but it just helps us with the ebbs and the flows. Whatever is going to come and hit you sideways, okay, that hurt a little bit, but I can bounce back because I know that I'm grounded in a way.
And let's demyth like the word holistic a little bit, because I feel like there's some people that they're a little afraid of that word. You know, it's a little too woo-woo for them. It's a little too much for them. They can't quite handle it. So, but what I want to really get across is that everybody lives a life, whether they want to realize it or not, within the cycles of nature. And everybody lives a life that their mind affects them, their body affects them, their emotions affect them, and their energy affects them. So whether or not we want to call it holistic or not, wellness is still, well-being is what we should really call it. Well-being is what we really should strive for in our arts. You know, I've seen dancers and actors and performers just get out on stage and do a wonderful, wonderful job with their craft. And they present themselves as though they've really got it going and they've got everything lined up in their life and everything is in alignment. But the minute they're off stage, they're making lifestyle choices that are not supporting themselves. You know, whether they're staying up late, whether they're out at the bar every night, whether it could be a myriad of things, you know, not eating well for our bodies. But it's a matter of bringing those two aspects into alignment together.
Yeah. Why do you guys think holistic approach is separate from everything else, in your opinion, I guess?
Because we're a Western world and we're one track depending minded of, you know, what are we here for? Money. What else are we here for in the Western world? You know, what are the priorities? What are the, I guess, things that are seen as success? Mm-hmm. I know you guys brought that up before. Like, what does success mean? Success usually means those high tier, you have this, you have this, you have this, materialistic, external type things. Whereas if you really get down to it, that stuff, the second it's gone, then how are you going to feel after that? You know, why the putting all of your energy into those things, and they could be gone in a moment. And so it's to say, we're still not educated over here on the Western end, and it's not everyone. There's a lot of us, you know, holistic, as Seth said, is kind of a little woo-woo in a way, for the fact that it's not, we need to continue to see it. We need to continue to have conversations like this and talk about it, to say, actually, this is normal. This is exactly what we should be doing every day for each and every one of us. Who's to say the type of things that are going on with the environment and with, you know, how we're treating people and the fact that we're in a pandemic right now, that those all connect. Seth talked about interconnections. It's all connected. So it's to say, if we really take a step back and stop hustling and bustling and trying to just get to what we think success is or what it's perceived as, and actually take that step back and be like, okay, actually, that person next to me is the same in a way. And because we're able to see differently, we're able to take that moment. So that's my opinion of it. I don't know if Seth, if you have something different with that.
No, you know, it's, you know, you hit on it really well when you just said it's just, it's the mindset is not practiced very well over here. We come from a culture that's produce, that's get out there and do. And Julie, I think you actually kind of hit on it a little bit when we were talking about, you can go into too much detail about what was going on before your hiatus from dance. But I'm guessing that the mindset was probably more in that produce mentality and that go, go, go mentality. And that wears us down. That wears us down and it wears us down quick. And what we have found in our personal practices is that by bringing in these holistic practices and these holistic habits, that we extend our life and we can go further and we can serve our purpose and our passion with more ease and grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like what Belle just said reminds me of something where dancers, or to a further extent artists, we kind of think we're insulated from these outside forces, I guess, or to an extent where like we think like, oh, okay, we're pursuing our passion, like automatically, like I'm not working a corporate job, so therefore like I'm happy, like I went against like the norm and I did it, and like, you know, I'm gonna stick to this. And because I'm doing it means like I succeeded, or like am quote unquote successful, or because I got booked for the show, I'm successful, right? But as you said, it's not as simple as that. Like we just kind of blind ourselves from like, well, I'm not taking care of, you know, my body in this way, or my life in this way, or I'm trying to, or I'm expending a lot of energy on these, what you said, like these Western values that don't really serve me. And same with, kind of the conversations that I've been trying to be at least a part of or observe in terms of like creating safe spaces against like racism and sexual misconduct within the dance community. Like, I'm not saying this is a blanket statement, but a lot of people, especially in kind of the more industry, think like, okay, dance is insulated from like dance is separate from politics, or dance is separate from like these issues, like, or dance is like my escape. And you know, for some people that is, but it's truly, you can't call it like a true escape, because like, no, your dance came from like Black suffering, or your dance came from like this one person who stood for like their individuality, right? And you can't like separate out those things or pick and choose. Like you have to say like, you know what, like, because I'm in this dance means I should be more educated about these topics, and I should be trying to, you know, at least learn, be knowledgeable. Otherwise, I'm just ignoring a whole part of the dance in general. So taking that to your side, you know, or just because you're doing like dance full time doesn't mean like you, or making a lot of money in general or whatever it may be, that's successful in this holistic approach.
So true. Like, what are your values? What are your priorities? Mm-hmm. Roll with those. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Let those be what Seth and I talked yesterday, let those be like the guide points, or I forget how exactly we said it, but like, let those things be the thing that guides you through however you do what you do, mm-hmm. instead of it being like trying to, well, yeah, go ahead and make all that money. Go ahead and have all these things if it's important to you, you know, but if, you know, how many times do you hear in different scenarios where it's a tech person who, or a finance person who's made all this money, but they're still not happy. There still is something missing. And then they go and like open a bakery, and then they're like, oh my God, life. It's the truth. It's the truth. So sometimes it doesn't have to be come to that moment, but in us having these conversations now, it's just like, be proactive about it. Be forthright with what you really want, you know. Culture can sometimes, you know, get in the way, and what people say and what that support may say to you, but it's also to say like, what do you truly want to do? How do you want to do it? So.
And just that statement itself is already so hard. So trying to find that. And even after a couple of years, it might change. So
I don't know how many times it's changed for me, even in this past year, this chunk of a year that has really slowed everything down. It's like, whoa. But then as you continue to check in with yourself and self-reflect, it bounces right on back. And if it molds and shifts, okay, cool. But you know you're truly aligned with what you're supposed to be doing by being grounded in who you are.
You know, the nature of reality is that it changes, impermanence. The nature of reality is that things will shift. Angelica and I had a really insightful conversation the other day about beginnings and endings. And we threw it out there to noodle on it for a minute as to whether beginnings and endings actually existed. And whether or not it's simply this marker that allows us to bring suffering into our lives. So if we remove like these markers of beginning and end, suddenly we see life as a flow. And suddenly we see that we can insert ourselves much easier. If we change directions, great, wonderful, you know? We're able to, if we're able to like approach it with more of a mindset of being able to lean into the flow instead of feeling like the victim and we've been completely just thrown into a situation we don't want to, we're going to go through that much, much easier. And we're going to bring a lot less suffering into our life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Riding the wave.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
That's the phrase.
And sometimes it's a hurricane wave.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not the surfer, you know, just chilling. So
just whatever the water wants to do at that time.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to roll with it. So
shifting gears, there is this other phrase, dancers are not athletes. You know, that's, I guess, still big in the dance community. We kind of wanted to know what your thoughts are on that. And how you think we could change that, or how you think, you know, we could start changing that.
Steph, do you want to hit them with your thought on this
first?
I do, because
we talked about this, because I was thinking about this, you know, and when I think of dancers, I think of dancers as this person who has this ability to express the artistry from their heart, just like an athlete does. And, you know, part of me, I guess my question would return with a question of what would be the reason you would want to call yourself an athlete? What would be the reason I want to take that label on? Why suddenly am I finding it necessary for me to be called an athlete? Is there something, you know, where I kind of, in my mind, I'd like to see the shift of it into, it's not that dancers aren't athletes, dancers are athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where actually the more encompassing viewpoint comes from. Do I think dancers are athletes? Absolutely. I've seen some dancers do incredible things. You know, I worked with several Cirque du Soleil artists, you know, that the amount of training that has to go into the body to be able to perform either dance or acts or anything is incredible. And there's an athletic talent, absolutely. And, you know, I guess my question is it necessary to be wanted to be called an athlete? You know, maybe it is, and maybe you can shine, maybe you can open this up for me a little bit. But is it, yeah, you tell me.
I think it's more of like a social norm that athletes are better. You know, athletes are seen more, athletes get more resources.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not looked as an athlete, we don't get to get those resources and get those, you know, perks and everything. So yeah. That's probably, in my opinion, at least that's probably why we want to be called athletes, just so we can actually be at that level of social norm where we're not like, oh, you're a dancer. You can just go on stage the next day and be fine, you know, rather than we actually train and condition and stretch and warm up and all of the other things that we train and practice for that they don't see.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes on stage, that's like pretty much like, you know, we spend a whole year to perform like a very short amount of time on stage. So they don't really see that. And I feel like because we're not called an athlete, that kind of just brushes all of that away.
Yeah. I certainly feel like where you're coming from there. And I understand that. Because, you know, I certainly saw it when I was in school, the athletic department, that's where the funding came from. You know, that's, you know, the arts got some funding, but it didn't get nearly as much funding. And of course, I wish things were different. So Gosh, how do we change the view on that? Yeah, how do we?
I was getting ready to say, welcome to sustainability for the arts.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just it's a matter of taking deep dives into what's going on over there in the athletic department and deciphering exactly what it is, and then taking those values and those things that they're doing, but then curating them to the dance community or curating them to the theatrical community.
And I think it's really interesting because dance kind of toes the line between, you know, sport and art, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. look at both extremes, like the actors, the singers of our world, like commercially, it's very popular. And then if you look at, you know, football players, basketball players, like commercially super successful. But if you look at dancers, like they don't have that kind of platform, right? They don't get that kind of commercialization or money. And it's like, obviously there's really successful dancers out there, but they're not revered like, you know, Brad Pitt or revered like Kobe or, you know, like that. So it's weird that like we don't, since we don't fall neatly into either of those things, we don't get to enjoy the benefits of either.
Mm. So, well, and I'm saying nor should you.
Yeah.
Dance is so, so, so beautiful. I think it's to say that one, it's cultivating that value and worth within the community and let that be the root that sprouts everything else. And to say, you know what? Yes, I am a dancer. I do have athleticism. I do have these types of attributes that make me the type of dancer that I am. But yes, I agree with Seth also. Dancers are athletes. Like I've seen just as much crazy stuff as he has, and choreography gets harder and harder. The creativity of dance gets harder and harder and harder. And I like add props, add costumes, add so many different things that dancers need to express themselves that takes, okay, my body's doing this, but my brain is telling my left arm to go here and my right arm is doing this. And then my left leg toe is holding on to this. That's real. And so, yes, but it's also to say to create that, that healthy arts community, that healthy dance community that says we are here, we know our value and our worth. And yes, you know, sports have had it easy, you know, mm-hmm. it's something that we see every day. And a lot of people, it comes down to access, you know, and I know you all know that. And that's why you're here as part of what you're doing. It's that access to what dance is, what the arts are, you know, outside of the status quo of what is commercial. So it's a lot of inner work for each person, for the community, for what they set out to do. And next, as we know, the arts have taken a hit this past, you know, year plus. And how detrimental has that been to individuals, or as far as having to tap into that just to even survive in this moment, you know, even if it's not in the collective, is to say, you know what, I'm dancing at home for myself. I'm dancing at home with a class. So it's to say that it's not never going to die. I think it's to really hone in on the beauty of it and the importance of it. And that's through the sustainability part. It's through the understanding of the overall purpose and really stemming from that.
And also understanding we're appealing to different audiences. You know, the athletes are appealing to a completely different audience than the dancers are appealing to. Of course, there'll be some overlay there, but more people could be preferring sports versus dance at this moment. So it's a matter of being able to really tap into and reach the fullest potential of the audience base that you have.
Right. Yeah. And as you said, yeah, it's interesting because we are unique and we bring our own unique expression to the table. And, you know, I know it sounds like sometimes a bad thing, but also I think it could be seen as a good thing too, because we're not as influenced by like certain forces that sports players or, you know, actors may be subject to. So we kind of have a different kind of freedom, and then also, you know, that's what's valuable to us as well. Like, I definitely appreciate that as a dancer. So I think, yeah, talk about
the Get Show Ready
Yes. You guys show ready? Are you guys ready to go do any type of competition, any type of like go out and perform for any and all people right now? If you were to like assess really quickly and actually like hang up this call right now and go perform right now. Are you guys ready to do that?
He probably can. He's been dancing. I can't. I definitely can't do that.
Yes, yes. Well, our whole premise of Get Show Ready, and thank you for saying that, because it's always seen as a physical thing of, okay, I've been conditioning, I've been, you know, staying relatively active, all these different things. But at Sustainability for the Arts, as we've talked about in this past, you know, 50-ish minutes, of it's the whole person. And I'll bring in the example again of you, Julie, of dancing, then taking that time for yourself and what dancing means now. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing of what the pandemic has been. It has been a year, relatively, not for everyone. Some people have been able to stay relatively normal in a way, but the past year has been that break in time. What did you do with that time? I know for me in that time, I learned a lot about Angelica during that time and what I was doing and how I was doing, the care I was providing, the hustle I was doing 10 different things, what felt like 10 different things, traveling all the time, what that life of Angelica looked like before the pandemic is completely different now. The decisions that I'm making, the choices that I'm taking for myself and for my life and my husband and what we want to do as a collective are completely different because we had that time to digest and really like tap into mental, physical, spiritual, all of those things. It wasn't something that came naturally, but it was something that was, you know, say like, oh, let me look at myself in these aspects, or something that was like, you know what, this wasn't working for us. And so when we talk about Get Show Ready, are you show ready? Are you ready to get back into the performance? And are you going to go to that performance the same person as what you left? Because to do that, was that moment fruitful for you? Were you hustling all day? Were you working, like, were you doing double duty performances or shows, and then you couldn't catch a breath, and then your body is killing you, and then you're really drained mentally, but you just want to get out on stage? Are you suffering from an injury? Like, so many different things just to be able to be out on stage. Was that working for you? So in saying get show ready, we're talking about, are you show ready mentally, physically? Yes, physical is very important, but mentally, physically, spiritually, like, have you done the soul work? Have you really tapped in to say, you know what, I do love being on stage, but not this way, because I'm undervalued and I'm underpaid, and I know that it's very important for me to have what I need, what I know is deserving of me. So you know what, whenever someone calls me to do this same type of gig that has actually diminished my worth, I can say, you know what? No, I'm not doing that this time. It's not important for me anymore. Tapping into that, and then like the connection of them all together, all of them, the energy of all of them together. Are you show ready? Are you ready to, the second that you get that phone call that says, hey, we are opening back up and we are ready to roll, are you ready within the whole person? Are you ready to jump, dive in, and make the right decisions for who you are and what you want to do, how you want to do it?
You know, COVID has presented us with so many opportunities and so many challenges. And I know producers and managers and individuals are making plans and arrangements for shows to go back into rehearsal studios, for shows to open back up on stage, for groups to get together, to go into the shops. And I don't know, part of our mission with Get Show Ready is to help people get to their peak performance so that way when they go meet those conditions that they have never met before, because the industry is not going to be the same going back into it. There's going to be new challenges and there's going to be new things that we have to encounter. So the whole premise behind Get Show Ready is all about getting that person ready to show up into their fullest so that their mind is there, balanced, equipped, ready to take on the new changes, ready to come from a responsive place instead of a reactive place, so that their bodies are there, so that their bodies aren't going to fail on them. A lot of people have been sitting around for the last year. A lot of people have been not really doing and moving or changing anything about their body. And we know that once we get back into rehearsals, once we get back onto stage, even 1 week of that with not doing anything, you're going to see some wear and tear on yourself. The soul work, like Angelica mentioned, you know, making sure that those values are that true foundation that you operate from. You know, Angelica said it, we have had so much time to reflect on this past year and to determine what's important to us, what we stand for and what we don't stand for. And when we're really, really clear on that, we can allow that to be our foundation. And when we go into these new situations, when shows reopen or when we start to regather in studios, we're going to be challenged with different beliefs and we're going to be challenged with different things. If I know what my values are going into those situations, I have a tool to lean on and I have something to back me up from where I'm going. And then our energy levels, you know, our boundaries, like Angelica also said, you know, whether we're underperforming, whether we're overperforming, and putting ourselves in real check, you know, is this serving me? Is this not serving me? Is this good? Is it bad? But yeah, so that's our whole Get Show Ready. It'll be, I think we're aiming for it to be about a 4 week program right now. It'll be a free resource on our website for anybody to tap into. Yes. And of course, our website is sustainabilityforthearts.com.
Yes. Yes. Which we will tag on our the post.
Woohoo!
Perfect. But yes, we're, you know, where we are also desperate to have the arts come back, but they're not going to come back to what they used to be. And I think it's in saying that we shouldn't be who we used to be either. We should be able to step into a new way of being for the arts, no matter what part of the community it is, and really allow the beauty of the arts to be sustainable, like the community itself to be sustainable. So it doesn't have to be shut down again for a year, you know, and just to let the love of it, like the passion of me being a part of the arts is for the fact of what you all do as artists every day, like to be that small little piece of the puzzle that allows, or that can aid, that can help, that can support what you all do every day, or what you're passionate about doing every day for the world, is so important to me. So to have a really, really strong, supportive, healthy arts community is just as important, from the crew to the musicians to the dancers to the therapists to anyone, that the people that just love the arts, that just want to be a part of the arts in any sort of facet. So that's my spiel on that. And let's all get show ready. You know, are we show ready? You know, it's the same for us. It's a facet of really just making sure we're tapping into all of those things that can really aid us in being happy, healthy, fulfilled. So,
right. So I think, like, going off that program you just mentioned, I think that's a good segue to go into, like, what other services do you provide that you want, you know, our listeners to be aware of, and that they can check out either on your website or Instagram, anywhere.
Right now, you know, we offer, we're doing some blog articles that are dropping quite a bit of information in regards to how people can cultivate more sustainability into their lives. With that 4 week program, we'll also be offering an opportunity for communities to connect and to be able to really start talking about what this is doing for them, you know, because that 4 week program is also about not just preparing ourselves for the arts, but it really lays a really beautiful foundational work for being a human. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got for sustainability for the arts as of right now. You know, Angelica and I also work individually on our own things. I coach people in the arts, you know, I help people deal with their lives on stage, off stage, as a life coach. I also teach people holistic practices through Ayurvedic education. And I also teach people how to bring more presence into their life through meditation training. And then Angelica, you talk about yourself.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, as far as me individually, I've actually, as I mentioned, this time has really, like, flipped my switch as far as what type of care I was providing and how how I was providing. I was mainly hands-on, anything you needed, maintenance, functional movement. But now I find myself, and actually my husband, I just moved to Miami area, so anyone listening out there who needs any hands-on care, but I still am hands-on as far as any type of maintenance, injury prevention. But a lot of my passion now is more so in the education, on the educational side of things within body awareness is huge, huge, huge. A lot of us aren't aware of our bodies and how they move or how they function. The ins and outs of what our bodies do for us every day. So really that awareness to the body, health and well-being education, injury prevention education. And then I also am still involved with athletics. So if you are an athlete out there or you're a dancer or if you're anyone that is looking for any type of functional movement assessment or you just have that nagging chronic injury that you want to maintain, we can come do a program, look at your functional movement and be prescribed exercises and or hands-on care to help get you back to that true function to be able to do what you do. So those are my main two things right now and we'll see where they evolve. Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to really change, flip the switch and really like step into that true purpose.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
I think we hit all the points we wanted to.
We did.
And we're
cool.
Amazing.
Was there anything, any last words or that y'all wanted to wrap it up with before Julie and I close it out?
No, I've got nothing. I have thanked you like 10 times before in the very beginning and I'll do it again. Like it's been such a pleasure to talk about, to allow us to talk about what we have been practicing for ourselves every day and what we feel is something that we really want the rest of the world to know if they don't know. Yeah. So thank you.
You know, and I think one of the big things too is to let us know what you need, you know,
yes,
let us know
please.
What you need as a community and as a group. And because we'd love to be able to support you guys too, because that's what creating sustainability is all about.
Yes.
I definitely like learned a lot today. I mean, this work I'm not like too into, but it's good for me just to like be exposed like this in that way.
Amazing, cool. Amazing.
So we end our podcast by doing client puns that Julie usually reads off. So if you want to go ahead.
It's something fun to like end the conversation.
These are
pretty deep conversations.
Yeah.
So we're kind of keep it light. So. Got three puns. The first one is aloe you very much. Aloe.
Aloe.
Yeah. Clever.
The second one is you make my heart skip a beat. And then,
definitely punny. Yeah.
definitely punny. The last one is Chive never met anyone quite like you.
Yes.
I have a feeling we're going to be taking some of these back with us, Seth.
Yeah, right?
Very essential.
Yes.
Sure.
Or just start speaking in puns.
I think that's our time today. So with that last final thank you, Angelica. Thank you, Seth, for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Denise.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow Sustainability for the Arts on Instagram to check out their services. Be on the lookout for more episodes on our Instagram page, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again. Bye.